Can you hear me? Very loud.
Okay.
Before the conference, like at Toronto, you were at like Center Island, and Maria, Dan, Maria and I were there, and then we were going to have like a barbecue there, and then like we had to find some rocks or branches for the barbecue, and then we couldn't find any anywhere. Like there were trees, but they were like really high up, so we couldn't find any branches or rocks. But like opposite of us, they were like we wanted to go there to see if we could find anything. So Minerva and I volunteered, and so when we took our first step, planning to go to the opposite side, from the sky came like a huge branch, like stretching from just like the length of that bench, and it was so amazing because God provided so abundantly, and then Dan was like, thank God. So it was like a very good miracle that happened that day. And before the conference, we could feel like Satan tempting us and plotting schemes, and so like we were praying every day before the conference, and then we were like, all of us felt so unprepared, but during the conference, the Lord was so good to us, and like we felt like more prepared than we were before. And during the conference, what stood out to me was in one of the discussion groups, they were talking about like if you were like an overflowing cup, like in church, would you like talk a lot about God and stuff, or would you be like a quiet church mouse, like sitting in the corner huddled up and not open up? And we were going around like the circle, and then when it came to me, I was like, oh, whenever I think about this, I would think about Enoch and Jacob. Because Enoch, like, I felt that he was like an overflowing cup filled with knowledge and all that stuff. But on the other hand, Jacob was like a quiet church mouse, always, always like that. And but the Lord is so good to us, and because like, even though you may be like a Jacob, the Lord can change you, and gradually he changed Jacob into an Israel, and it's just so encouraging to know that. And the topic of the conference was walk worthy, redeem the time. And during one of the messages, Brother Dana was talking about seizing every opportunity you come across. And then I was like, oh, do I seize every opportunity? But like the Lord, as I said, is so good, because even though you miss one opportunity, he gives you another one and another one until you take that opportunity. And it's just so encouraging. And something else that stood up to me during the conference was this verse. It says that with men all things are possible, but with God nothing is impossible. And so, yeah, it was really encouraging, and praise the Lord for this conference.
Just for the very first thing I want to say, I just want to thank God that, and just really thank Him that I could go, because this conference, I think is really awesome, and there's so much to say, but I only have a few minutes, so I'll try not to talk for too long. 10 minutes? When my mom asked me if I wanted to go in like July, I was like, no, I don't want to go, because I heard the theme, it was redeeming the time, and that was one thing I wasn't doing because it's summer and I was playing computer games every day, and I was just like, it's just going to be another conference where they're just like, yeah, I love God, like blah blah blah, and then I'd be like, all right, and I get home and I forget about everything, and it would just suck, and it'd be a waste of money to go to Toronto and come back with nothing. But I think God really, even though I had this negative attitude, God really, He wanted me to get something from this. So the week before the conference, we actually had the Basic Life Seminar, and I think that was really great. It was something that, it turned my heart back to God, and it kind of started to show me what was wrong with myself. And even though I was so unprepared for this, the conference as a whole, I felt my relationship with God was, it was somewhat better than what it was like in the previous weeks. Yeah, so what Amber said, the theme was Walk Worthy, Redeeming the Time, as it shows by this cool t-shirt that I have. And we had three theme verses, and let me just read it to you. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand the will, what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:15-17. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:17. So the speakers of the conference were Dana Condon and someone from Virginia called Jim Bogdanowicz or something, yeah. And the very first message that he said was about being aware. And I was really tired, so I didn't get all the message. But the parts that I did hear, being aware, it's so simple, but it's something that we all miss. Like, I was missing it forever because we hear it all the time, every Sunday, and we hear, you know, Jesus died on the cross for you. Yes, you know that. Are you aware of that? And, you know, Jesus is, God is love. God loves you. God has a purpose for your life. You know all this. But are you aware of it? Is it part of your life? And for me, it just wasn't. And as the conference wore on, and as I heard more of this, I just began to feel so inadequate because just my relationship with God was so shallow. It was just so, like, it would just be from previous conferences where he touches my heart, and then it's like, I'm like, yes, I'm all for God, and then after the feeling wears off, then, you know, you just bog down again, and until next year. And it's just, it was such a struggle. But then what I really got from this conference was how to walk with God. What they said was, what they kept on repeating was, if you obey God, He will show you more of Himself. And just like, we're always given the opportunity. If you ask for a decision, you're always given the opportunity to walk in the light or to walk in darkness. And if we obey God and we walk in the light, then He'll give more light, and we will know more of Him. And it was just something that really stuck in my mind from the conference. One thing that really amazed me was, it was like, I didn't know what to expect, but there was like 100 people there, and I'd say most of them were my age or younger, so I was really not used to this because we usually don't have that many young people. But it was really awesome because all of them, practically all of them, they all grew up in a church, so, you know, they all had the Bible knowledge, and they all had a relationship with God that was so, you know, alive. And like, even though we were separated by who knows how many kilometers, and like, there are people from like Texas and Virginia and Toronto and us from Vancouver, it was just so easy to talk to them because we had that common bond in Christ. So yeah, just one thing that I wanted to mention was just the brothers and sisters in Toronto. They're really awesome because you can tell how much prayer went into the whole conference and how they just willingly gave us a place to stay for the night, and they were just so good to us. I just don't think I could thank them enough, and they were, yeah. I guess one thing that I want to, just my last point, one thing that I want to say was, when I got back, you notice, if you want to start a walk with God, you will notice that Satan doesn't want you to, and he tries so hard, and it's like, I never noticed it before, but then when you begin to think about it, you're like, oh man, this is the enemy attacking, because like, I was just sharing with Maria and my brother in the car the other day. When I got back, I was like, because recently I've been, when we sing hymns, I'm very bored, because the hymns have a very, I felt that they were really boring, and like, I just didn't feel any emotion from them. So I was like, okay, a lot of people say the hymns are precious, and hymns are also like very valuable to us. So I was at home, and I was like, I'm going to play some hymns, because I need to practice piano anyways. And so I was playing, and there was no one home. So I was playing piano, and then it was good, because the hymns were pretty sweet, and like, the more I played it, the more I like got used to how to play the hymns, and like the more I could concentrate on the words, and it was really good. And I was really thirsty, so I went to the kitchen, and I opened the cupboard. And right as I opened the cupboard, one of the hinges fell off. So it was dangling on the side, I had to hold it like this, and if I let go, like, the other hinge would snap off, it'd probably break, and then I was just like, what? This is ridiculous. Like, you know, Satan, I've opened this hinge. Okay, we've lived at the house for 7 years. I open it like once a day. I did the math. It's about 2,550 times, at least. And the one time that I open it is when I'm praying hymns and the hinge snaps off. And for the other 2,549 times, it was fine. So I was standing there and I was holding the cupboard door open. And I was like, great, now I can't go back to play the piano. But then I managed to somehow gather a bunch of pots and pans and stack them together in a tower, and somehow it supported it, and I got my water, and I went back to play piano, and it was good. So it's not that deep, but it's an example of how really Satan, he doesn't want us to be right with God. He doesn't want us to follow him or seek him. And we just have to be really alert if we want to dedicate ourselves to God. And then if we do that, then he'll bless us so much.
Sorry for being late. I have a funny story. It's not that funny, but it's pretty funny. So, before practice, of course I had practice. I mean, fellowship, I had practice. That's why I kind of stink right now. But we were finished, and it was okay, I guess. And then I was running to the car because it was already about 7:30. And I was running back and I was thinking, okay, I was going through my head, oh yeah, what I'm going to share about, what I have to do tonight, what I'm going to have to do tomorrow. Just like going over checklists and stuff, because if I don't, then I get discombobulated. But as I was approaching my car, I saw that the headlights were still on. So I was like, oh my, no, don't die on me, right? I was like, come on, Lord, please don't. Come on, just let it live. And then, so I go to my car, and then it already died once, but that wasn't my fault. I don't know why it died. Like, really, it didn't. But I stuck it in the ignition, and then I pulled on it, and it started lighting up. And I was like, oh, yes, thank you, Lord. You, like, really do answer prayers. And I turn on the ignition, and then it won't start. I'm like, okay. So what do you want me to do now, Lord? And it was already getting late, and I could see people's faces being crossed and stuff. But then I prayed, and actually, the first time that happened, my dad actually left the jumpers in my car, and I was too lazy to ever take them out again, even though we found out the battery was okay. But I did have the jumpers, and then finally, actually a buddy of mine was actually late too, and then he said, there's a jumper car, and I was like, thanks. And then I got here. So it's just a small thing, but I think it's as recent, it's the most recent experience I can give to you guys up to date about how the Lord does provide for us. And yeah, even when we're stupid and we have our head car lights on. But I think I have three topics to share with you, I guess. First two being just 1 point, and then the third point being what I learned during the message. But I think the first point that I learned that the Lord was trying to show me during the conference was, I just walked in when Jay was sharing about how there are a lot of brothers and sisters in there that are a bit younger. I mean, I was looking through the directory, and I was like, whoa, these guys are like born in the 90s. I remember writing that on my schoolwork. And, but I think, I don't know, for the past, I've been a little bit discouraged because, I don't know if you've heard, but I think a lot of people have said that, like, oh, this generation may be a generation that, like, will not be that great in terms of bringing the gospel and stuff. But I think that after this conference, it really gave me an encouraging thought in that the Lord is working, not only in our church, but also throughout the whole continent and other places. Like, I had a roommate from Berlin, well, kind of Brazil, but he's studying in Berlin. And you could just see that the Lord was working everywhere. And my second point is that I really praise the Lord because during this trip, I got to spend a lot of time with our sister Jenny, and I think that as she is going away, that the Lord really blessed me with getting to know her a little bit better, and just seeing what the Lord's been teaching her through her obedience and through her daily fellowship with them. And I thought that was a real blessing. And thirdly, of course, there's the messages. I think I'll share with you guys few tidbit points. I don't know if this has been shared before yet, because I'm a bit late. But I think the first thing I want to share with you, the first thing that touched me, was when our brother Jim was talking about being a bondservant, and he said that you can never become a bondservant until you realize the goodness of your master. And you know the goodness of your master, of course, through when the Lord draws us to Him. And I think that when I heard that, I asked myself, do I really know the goodness of our Lord? Am I really being that bondservant that really knows how good his master is and serves him not out of duty, but out of appreciation and love for him? I think that that's something that we can all ask ourselves. And another thing that I learned that was kind of new, I found, or at least it never hit me before. Maybe I was sleeping during other things. But it was also shared that we should say that we have recognized, like when we learn something, either in message or in life, that we would recognize it, we would give it back to the Lord, and that He would disclose it for us so that He can even reveal more to us when He gives it back. So an example of this is just right now, me sharing with you guys, and the Lord's just working in me in different ways through the material that I'm sharing with you. I found that to be so precious because so many times we try to take it in and we try to hold it in our head and just like hold it for dear life, and we always lose it. But we don't have to do that because we just give it back to the Lord, and He'll give us back so much more. And I think that was really precious. And also, this one was a big one for me personally, to be a doer. Because when the Lord speaks to us, or when He puts us through things, He puts us through things because of He has His purpose for us. And it's not just for us to hear, but it's for us to do. And to let God be God, and He'll reveal great things to us. I mean, I think that in our church we're really blessed because we have so many people we can learn from, and so many experiences, and so many people that we can build each other up on. I mean, our fellowship's pretty big, relatively speaking. But I think for me personally, it's just you still do the hearing, but more about the acting, more about the doing. Also, we learn to seize our opportunities. Not opportunities in terms of your business, well, it could be that too, but in terms of spiritualness, spiritual aspects, seizing your opportunities. And I've been told that I'm a laid-back type of person, which is sometimes useful, I must say, and I must defend for myself. An example of this is because I was in an interview, and then the interview person asked me, "So, when was the last time that you were in a conflict with another individual, and how did you resolve it?" And I sat there and I thought, I don't remember having a conflict with anyone per se that I would have to solve in a novel way. And then she looked at me kind of funny and thought I was lying. But I mean, if there is a conflict between you and me, come back to me after this and I'll deal with you. I mean, we'll deal with each other. But that being said, it's not being laid back in terms of doing things, but it's in laid back to not be laid back in terms of serving brothers and sisters, in terms of witnessing, and in terms of serving in assembly. And I think I was really touched by that. I mean, if you see a brother there who needs help, you go help him. You don't wait for someone else to help him. When you see the chairs need to be set up, you set them up. When you see someone needing a hand, you give them a hand. And I think this is all something that we learn together. And then, of course, Dana was talking about Jacob. And he asked us a question. I mean, he said, wasn't God wasting time with Jacob? I mean, Jacob was kept on fighting God. And then at the same time, is he wasting time with us? And at times, I guess I can think of myself too. I mean, what is he wasting time with us? But Jim also said that we should be a Jacob to grab the Lord, like when Jacob was wrestling the Lord, to grab the Lord and not let go, to seize your opportunities as the Lord will seize you if you do that. And one last thing, sorry, I don't know what the time limit is, but one last thing is that I think a big part that touched me during the conference was during our last workshop sharing. We have different workshops and we're split into groups, so we were like bunched up with a bunch of college guys. And it was on spiritual discernment. And then it wasn't even the leaders sharing on spiritual discernment, but it was just on this one point that he said, where he said, as the Lord reveals more light to us, we begin to see even more how precious our Lord's blood is, and how He reveals more light, and then we see deeper and deeper how much the Lord has done for us, because we see more clearly how terrible we are, but how powerful our Lord's blood is. And then I was really touched by it, because he started crying a little bit, and then at that time I felt to myself, I felt a bit jealous, I guess. I was asking the Lord, how come you don't show me that to me? I mean, how come you don't work that life in me? How come you don't reveal more light to me so that I can be touched in that sort of way, so that I can see deeper and deeper how much you love us. And of course, the Lord shows different things to different people. But I guess I was just saying that I was thinking, Lord, just do your work in me and just show me more. Show me deeper things about your salvation and your love for me. And I believe that all of us really, if we do ask this, that the Lord will show us and that he'll give this greater desire to stand on his faithfulness and that he would show us great things. And he just shared with us before the throne of God above that one verse that said, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. I think that really touched me, how all the Lord has to do is look upon what Jesus did on that cross. And that's just enough to pardon us from all our wrongdoing and everyone's wrongdoing. And the Lord bless all of us, I believe, during this. And I hope that that we can bring back something to the rest of you guys.
Can everyone hear me? Okay. So I'm going to share a little bit about before the conference because I haven't been here for a while, like 3 weeks. I went down to LA for WCCC. It was really a blessing. Even though at WCCC I didn't really get to listen to all the messages, and I didn't get a lot of sleep either, but I can truly say after the whole experience that it's really a joy to serve with brothers and sisters, and I just really thank the Lord because through serving and through many other things, I got to know the brothers and sisters in LA a lot better. And we were able to share a lot as well because of the few days that we spent together. So most of you guys know that I went down to LA for 2 weeks before the Toronto conference because I had two friends visiting me from England. And these two friends are like people I grew up with at church ever since I was little in England. And one of them, her mom, like, emailed me a few months ago and kind of, like, was like, I'm going to send them to visit you, but they're, like, I'm saying that they're visiting you, but I want them to go to the conference. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll, like, host them for 2 weeks, and it'll be good if they can go to the conference because even though they've both grown up in a Christian family, they haven't come to know the Lord, and so over the past few years, the Lord has given me a burden to preach the gospel to them and to bring them to the Lord. So they came over three nights before the conference, and then they came on a Sunday night, and then on Monday morning, we had like this huge group that went to Six Flags, and like they were really exhausted because they're like jet lagged and everything. And they both got sick afterwards. But I was really happy because I got to spend the day with brothers and sisters, and I think my friends had fun too. And I was really grateful for all of the brothers and sisters there that made an effort to talk to them and get to know them a little bit. And so, part of what I wanted to do was to have them hang out with my friends who are friends from church and like the people that came from here, because they don't have that support of brothers and sisters in England. So it's kind of like giving them a taste of what it's like to be in God's family. And so the conference started on Wednesday, and over the next few days we just hung out together, and it was good because I was really glad that they got along, because they're not like, I'm very different from them in terms of interests and everything. We're just very different, but the Lord was so good. He just he really opened up my two friends, because they were able to talk and share freely with my friends and brothers and sisters during the conference and also afterwards. And then during the conference, I was like, oh man, they're going to be falling asleep every meeting, because like WCCC, for those of you who have gone, it's very heavy, even for a Christian. And like, there's a lot of information to digest. And being a non-Christian, they, like, probably most of the stuff, like, went way over their head. But the afternoon workshop was given by Dana. And I'm sorry if you guys have heard this, because I know there was a WCCC sharing, but I wasn't here. But they were, I was surprised they actually listened to it, and they made it to 2 out of the 3 afternoons, and that was better than I expected. And afterwards, when I asked them, oh, how did you find the messages? And they're like, oh, well, we didn't really understand, like, the evening messages by, like, Lance and Brother Christian. But they really enjoyed Dana's messages. And then they said that it brought up points that they had never thought about before. And it gave them a new perspective on why they actually have to commit themselves to the Lord. And so I could really see the Lord working in them already. And I was really encouraged, because I didn't really have much hope to begin with. So then afterwards I stayed for a week in LA, and even though like all the Vancouver people left and like my friends really missed them, they're like, oh, I wish like they were still here, why can't they stay another week? And it was like, it really touched me to see that they got along so well that they wanted them back. And then, I mean, even though I was there, apparently I'm not good enough for them. But, I was really touched by that. And so they got to spend some more time with the brothers and sisters in L.A. And it was really good. And I could really see that the Lord was working in them. And so, that was my sharing for before the conference, before the Toronto conference. So then when I took the red-eye flight at like 10 o'clock from LA to Toronto, and I arrived at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was like so wiped out, because like I didn't get very much sleep the previous 2 weeks. And then I was like really, really grateful for the for the hospitality of the brothers and sisters in Toronto. Like Jay said, like, we really can't thank them enough, because the brother, he came to pick up 3 of us at like 5 or 6 in the morning. And like, if it were me, I'd be like complaining the whole time, because I'm not a morning person. And he just like drove us to his house, and he let us like crash on his couch. And like, we slept from like, I don't know, what was it, like 8 o'clock till like 11. And then we had to go to the church building for lunch to meet up with the other brothers and sisters. And then we were still sleeping in the car, so he left us in the car to sleep. But, like, I was so thankful, because I really needed the sleep, and because the Lord provided these brothers and sisters for us, and like they understood what we were going through with the sleep deprivation, and so yeah, I was really thankful for the brothers and sisters in Toronto, and also afterwards when we like stayed at their house and we just like ate their food and like stayed up really late at night, but yeah, and they're just really, really great, and it was so blessed to spend time with brothers and sisters because you can feel that common bond between them, and you can just talk to them so easily and share so easily with someone who shares the same life as you. Yeah, so I was really grateful for that as well. So then the conference. I just want to say that this conference was one of the ones where I stayed awake the most. Even though I was kind of dozing off a few messages, I was really grateful because I thought I'd be asleep all the messages because I didn't sleep much before that. But thank the Lord, I got a lot of sleep at the conference, actually. Like, every free time I'd go back to my room and sleep. And every night I slept, except for the last night, I slept at the actual curfew time, which is a first for me. So I got a lot of sleep, and I thank the Lord for that because I needed it. And so I was actually able to stay awake for the messages and go to the morning devotions. And one interesting point was that my room leader was the person I visited in New York at Christmas, if you guys remember, and she also knows my friends in England. And so I was sharing with her a little bit about the time that we spent, and she was really encouraged too, because she has the burden to bring them to the Lord as well. Okay, so then morning devotions. I was so encouraged by the morning devotions because I was awake for them, first of all. And second of all, the first day, I was expecting, like, usually the morning devotions from my past experience, they're very quiet, and there's a lot of, like, personal meditation. This, like, the morning devotions that I had with my room were, like, it was so lively in the morning, and, like, everybody was, like, sharing, like, right away, okay? And then the thing is, I thought that everybody in my cabin, except for Sophia, or in my room, except for Sophia, was older than me. And then so I was like, wow, these people are, like, they have so much insight into these morning devotions. And, like, they really love the Lord. Okay? And then on the third day, I found out that I was older than all of them. And I was like, oh, man, I feel so old. And, but then that really, that was the Lord giving me a little push, reminding me, like, if you see all these people who are so alive in me, then how come you aren't? You've been a Christian longer, and you're older than them. So that was a little bit of a wake-up call for me. And, so the morning devotions were very encouraging to me, and we had a really good time of prayer together, even though, we didn't really know each other, and we actually never really talked that much during the conference. But I think it was such a great way to start off the day, to draw close to the Lord with other brothers and sisters. Okay, so then on to the messages. As has been mentioned, the theme was walk worthy, redeem the time. And I think something that I really received from the Lord there was that a lot of times the Lord will give us a burden for something or put something in our hearts, but we always say, like, oh Lord, I'm not close enough to you yet. I need to get closer to you first before I can carry this out. But something that I was really reminded of in the messages was that when the Lord commands us, we need to obey right away. And it's just like the speaker gave in his message the example of how we can't have day-old manna. Like, the Israelites got manna every day fresh. So when we receive something from the Lord, we need to obey right away and not wait for anything. And I feel like there are many things, well, not many, but a few things in my life that the Lord has given me a burden for, but I'm always kind of like, whatever, I'll do it when I'm closer to you, God, and when I know exactly what you want me to do. But that's not the case, because when God commands us, we need to obey first, and then he'll reveal more of himself to us afterwards. And I just want to read a little excerpt from the last day's devotion. It really echoes what we heard about in the messages. So, yeah, okay. Okay, it says, "It is simply that revelation follows obedience. When we obey, God can show us more. But we usually think that the sequence is the other way around. Like we do in school for scientific knowledge, we study to know, then we can do. We think we should study to gain knowledge about God, and then when we really understand, we will obey. In effect, we say to God, 'Explain it all to me so I really understand, and then I will obey.' To which God responds, 'Until you obey what I have already shown you, you cannot know me more.'" And I think that really puts into words what I learned, because I, like, that's perfectly exactly what I learned at the conference. And also regarding seizing the opportunity and redeeming the time, I feel like over the years I've lost the that urgent desire to witness to my friends and to preach the gospel. And even though the Lord has shown me over and over again that I need to take hold of the opportunity and to witness to my friends now, because there might not be time later, there might not be the opportunity later, I feel like I've been very complacent in that. So I was really encouraged by the messages that were given about seizing the time and taking hold of the opportunity, because our first goal is to prepare ourselves for that day when Jesus will come again. So, yeah.
it's not just the expression. It's every aspect of our lives, every detail of our lives, we want to hand it over to you. Lord, I thank you for our sister sharing about how you want to reveal yourself to us, but first we have to obey. We have to trust and obey. Lord, all that I have or want or feel, I want to yield it to you. It's because that's what you have given me, and it should be used to glorify you, not to my own benefit, or it's not up to me to plan my own life or my destiny, so-called destiny, but Lord, it's all in your hands, and you're waiting for us to commit ourselves to you, to yield to you every aspect of our lives. Lord Jesus, work in our hearts, work in each one of us. May your love fill us, fill each one of us, and that we can draw close to you. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Lord, indeed, in simple faith we come to you, Lord. Lord, may each and every one of our hearts be directed towards you, that we may not yearn to be closer together, Lord, but that we would yearn, we have this yearning to be closer to you, Lord, so that we may have our focal point to where you are, Lord. Lord, we were not searching for an experience or a feeling. We are, but may you keep us grounded on the fact, Lord, and on your truth, that you died on that cross, Lord, and that you rose again, and that now you are interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you that you are that all-powerful God who is yet so personal and in our lives, working in us in our own special ways. And Lord, we ask that we will not hinder your work in each and every one of us, but that we may grow together in your Lord. He's never failed. Lord, we thank you so much for how you saved us, Lord, and now that you're redeeming us, every part of us, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, you look over us and you do not want us to go astray, Lord. Lord, we do want to come before you and just ask, Lord, that you can help us, that you can help us in our time of need, but that we need you so much, Lord, we cannot do anything by ourselves. Lord, help us to redeem our time. Lord, all that time that has been taken from us, that has been stolen from us, Lord, help us to redeem us. Lord, we ask that we can be able to stand up for you, to be awoken, Lord, from our slumber. Lord, that we can really come up and live consciously for you. Lord, that our awareness is not of our own self, Lord, but awareness of what you have done and what you are going to do for us. Lord, you are our hope. And Lord, may your name be glorified. It's most precious.
Amen. Lord Jesus, as we stand before you, as you stand here, you will help each one of us to have our hearts and our bodies yielded to you, Lord. I just ask that you will cause us to love you more because we see more of you and we get forgiven much, Lord. I just ask that you will continue to do your work in us, Lord, and that may our thoughts and our actions be acceptable to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Doesn't matter.
Is it age one?
No, it's a rare motive. redeem the time.
Yes.
Okay. I just really feel so blessed by the conference and by how much God loves each and every one of us. For a long time, I've been struggling with surrendering to the Lord. And every time that the Lord speaks to me, whether like in Sunday school messages or in my devotions, I would hear it. And I knew that the Lord's convicting me of something, but I wouldn't be able to obey the Lord. And so I remember just even before leaving for the conference that at Sunday school, we were studying Hebrews. And it's talking about how, like, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, but obey. And it was also about taking every opportunity. And so it was really interesting because it reflects the theme of the conference. And so I wanted to share, first of all, on the very first night when I got to the conference, I was feeling like there's a brother called Dan Boyer who was up there sharing, and he gave an illustration, and I started to feel like, oh, his style is so different from BCA, and it's not the hardcore stuff from WCCC. He speaks so softly, and every time I look at him, I kind of want to smile or laugh. And so I wasn't, like, concentrating at all, and so I was already feeling discouraged. I was like, well, Lord, I don't even know if this conference is for me. And then Brother Hosea Wu stepped up to share something, and I think this has been what's been keeping me going throughout the entire conference. In Luke chapter 1, Brother Hosea shared about how an angel appeared to Mary. And it says this. He said that a lot of times we feel that our flesh is so weak and we're unable to do what the Lord has asked us to do. But he said that what's impossible with men is not so with God. And he said in verse 37, with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And then the next verse was, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so Brother Hosea had mentioned that, you know, a lot of times when we feel that we can't do what God wants us to do because we're so weak, yet if we say to the Lord, you know, let it be to me according to your word, and we believe in the Lord, then the Lord will bless us and He will do what He will do in us. He'll fulfill what He set out to fulfill in us. And it says here that the angel departed from her. And Brother Hosea says that when the angel departs from her, it means that Mary has obeyed. She has taken the Lord's words. And so the Lord does not need to continue speaking to her on this matter. And so throughout the conference, I continually felt that the Lord was speaking to me about one area in my life. And I mean, many other areas, but just one in particular that I've been struggling with. And so I just felt like God is so good because he just wanted to speak to me. And I remember that another verse that, or message that really touched my heart was when Brother Jim, he was talking about, like, you know, a lot of times, like, sorry for the people that were at Bible study because I shared it already, but a lot of times we have a Burger King existence where they say, like, you know, have it your way. And so we just want to eat what we like, and we just, you know, just chuck away what we don't want to eat. And he said that the Lord speaks to us. It is like an alarm clock. And, you know, do we press the snooze button when we hear His prompting? Or do we, like, awake from it? And the verse I wanted to share here is in Ephesians chapter 5. This comes before walk worthy and redeem the time. It says, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And so when the Holy Spirit comes to prompt us about some things in our life, like, do we just ignore His voice, or do we listen to Him and obey Him? And so in order for us to really do His will or walk worthy, we need to be made aware of how much He loves us, of His redemption. And like what I think Calvin and Jay shared, we know that the Lord loves us, but are we aware? Like, are we fully aware of how much He loves us? And I think it's only when we're aware of the Lord's love for us that then we can arise from the dead, we can obey. And when we obey the Lord, Christ will give us more revelation of Himself. And just like what Michelle shared earlier, the Lord wants us to learn to obey Him and have that faith in Him and trust Him for whatever that would come. And when we obey Him, He will reveal more of Himself to us. And just like the verse, it says, in your light, we will see light. When God gives us light about a certain area in our life, we need to be faithful to what He's shown us and walk it out. And then we can really receive more revelation of Himself. The last thing I wanted to share was during one of the workshops, it was by a brother who was talking on spiritual discernment. And he mentioned that the word Bethel, it means house of God, but also means it gets upon, like, every daughter is a house. And he mentioned that each of us, we're like a house before God. And he said, is it enough for us to just have a sun, like a skylight, for the light to come in? And we talked about how it's not enough because there would be some dark areas in our life that we would not be exposed to the Lord, that we'd be hiding from Him. But he said that we need to have a house without a roof where His light completely shines through every part of our life, so that even the parts we want to hide from the Lord in fear of their safety can be exposed to that light. And one thing was from Matthew chapter 6. And it says here, I never understood this before, but He really opened this up to us. And it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And he mentioned that, how can an eye be a lamp? You know, because it absorbs light. It doesn't actually emit light. And he said that we need to make sure that the light which we have inside of us is truly light. Just like the Pharisees in John chapter 9, when they, said to the Lord, are we blind also? They think they see. They think they know the Lord. But they don't see at all. And so when we're before the Lord, are we just covering it up with spirituality, or are we really bare before the Lord and allowing His light to be really in us? And the final thing that I got from that was that he mentioned that the Apostle John was the one who said that Christ is the light of the world. And why is he able to say that Christ is the light of the world? It is because he is so close to the Lord Jesus that whatever the Lord sees, he sees. And he walks with Him. And when you fellowship with the Lord, you fellowship with the light, and there's no darkness. And so he says that the word conscience means to see with. And so are we able to see with the Lord, eye to eye on everything? And that really convicted me, because there was something that I wasn't able to see eye to eye with the Lord. And I think throughout all this time, like even in the discussion group, when there was a question like, you know, is it possible that we're made aware of how much the Lord loves us? Or is it possible that we have this awareness of the Lord? And I want to encourage brothers and sisters by saying that God is so good, because He doesn't give up on us, and He speaks to us continually, and He's so ready to make us aware of Himself and His will for us.
I think we're running out of time soon, but I'll try to be short but concise but to the point. think, didn't expect, God to be working so mightily, but just want to praise Him first and foremost for the things that He's done, what He's spoken throughout every single interaction that happened in Toronto. The thing that I was really moved to was about how this life that we have, that it's a gift from God. I've known this, I've grown up, and it's something that we have, but most of the time we hear about the cross, we hear about what the Lord has done on the cross, but I think we don't know what the cost of that redemption, of what He has done on that cross, and I think it may not be we're maybe not as aware sometimes of that cost that was on that cross. And I think I was again reminded because one of the things that we need to be aware of is the cost of the redemption. And so I think a lot of brothers and sisters shared about their points about their life, but I think there's one thing that that spoke to me was it's about your life. It's a bunch of choices. God's given you freedom to do whatever you want, really. He's not, forcing you in any way whatsoever. He's not, grabbing you by the neck and say, believe in me, right? It's not like that. And that makes it even more precious because we're so wretched. And a lot of times we choose things for ourselves over the things of the Lord. And so even like little things that we have, like little things that we go through, it's a choice. You choose, you're here for whatever reason, but you made that choice to be here. And I think that is every day that I wake up to, like that's what the Lord's been telling me for the past week. Like, what's your choice? What do you choose? And I hope you guys can be aware of that, these choices that you make. You may think that they're not vital, or they may not be, they may be very trivial, but there is value to your choice. So we talked about a lot of, or Brother Dana and Jim talked a lot about redeeming the time and, seizing the opportunities and how, redeeming has like meaning about negative where you're trying to get back what you've lost. And you try to buy back things that you've lost. And I think, I don't know if you've tried to, if you've lost anything, you would always say, I'll pay anything to get that back if it has any value to you. And I think that's very true, that we need to know how it is that we are buying back our time. And I think there's a lot of, I think I'm trying to get more into, I think, the last or second last message about, how is it that we redeem this time? And, and how he said that the only redemption center is the cross. And there's no, when I think of redeem, it's like, first thing that comes to mind is, because when I used to be a kid, I always picked up, like, pop cans, and I'd always go to redeem it for, like, a nickel. And, that had some value to me, but but now that you've grown up, and now that you kind of look at your life, that time that you've spent as a Christian, and how much have you redeemed? And I think it's so true that the cross is the only redemption center. You can't go anywhere else. You can't go to yourself to redeem things. But the Lord gives us hope, and one day we will completely be redeemed. And that's something that we can be sure of. So he mentioned these two times that we are going through. It's one's chronos, which is just time, which is constant. Time is a sequence of like days, years, like how we know and live. And there's kairos, which is time as a moment of significance and importance, and which is an opportunity. And they're different. Time and opportunity aren't the same. The situations we encounter daily in time are not necessarily opportunities, right? And time is constant, but opportunities come and then they go. So I think these are things that we kind of, you know, heard. And he went on to talk about, you know, how do we redeem this time? What are our opportunities that we have? And, you know, one's in assembly life, where we're here assembling together. There's a topical study or a workshop on assembling together. In service, how we serve the Lord. And another point, expressing worship. You know, we choose to be here. We have time to pray out loud. I mean, yet we choose not to, for whatever reason. We're not here for each other, per se. When we worship the Lord, it's for the Lord. And we need to choose the Lord. Sharing a living rhema, or praying in kingdom time zone. Kind of did this little thing about there's two different time zones under the sun, where, you know, things are just vanity, and using Solomon. And then there's the kingdom time zone, where that's when the opportunities happen. And that's when, you know, that you're actually redeeming the time. And also sharing his life through fellowship. So we're here as a fellowship. And the second point is more serving brothers and sisters, right? We're here, you know, there's, this is like the mending part, right? As fishermen, we're here to mend the nets and fill out holes. I'm not saying that we're here to fix each other, but we're here called to serve each other. And the greatest example that we have is Jesus, right? Who came down to serve us. And then the third point was seizing opportunities to witness to outsiders. And, you know, we might sometimes be a little bit too caught up in mending the nets, and we never cast them. And if you never cast them, it doesn't matter how perfect your net is. If it's made of whatever, it's not going to, you know, there's no fish. And, you know, you don't eat. So we have to seize our opportunities. And so we all know these things, but why haven't, right? Why haven't we redeemed the time? So I think the last part where he talked about, you know, Jacob. We had a devotion on Jacob about, you know, talking about how he's scheming and, you know, doing all these things, you know. And, like, I always thought Jacob was a good guy, you know. Like, you know, even though he did those things, but I thought, like, you know, but it's in the end, that's when, you know, he really... was the Lord's. But so last message you just talked about, you know, the patriarchs and how their lives were basically an example of how they redeemed the time, because they obeyed God in every opportunity. How Abraham built altars, and it's like an offering, offering our lives, right? We're always offering our lives and always ready for opportunities. And then Isaac's testimony was, you know, when he was wells and he dug up all the wells to find the life of the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit to seize the opportunities. We can't do it alone. And then Jacob's testimony was of pillars, where his testimony was the desire of the living God to dwell in his house with man. And, you know, like one thing that shot out at the end is like, Jacob, God wants more Jacobs. That's what Dana said, and, you know, I kind of wrote it in, like, big bold letters, and it's reminding me, God wants more Jacob. It's not like the scheming Jacob, but it's that Jacob that, you know, that wrestled God and said, you know, I will not let go until, you know, you give me the blessing. And that was like, okay, you know, I fight a lot, like maybe when I was a kid, like my siblings, but you know, for no reason though, right? Like, it's not like I'm trying to get something, but here, you know, like, how Jacob wrestled God was because he wanted that blessing so bad. Like, so bad. Like, he would, you know, hold on so long until his hip was dislocated, or, you know, when the Lord finally, you know, ended it. And, you know, that's the life that I think, you know, that I can see that the Lord wants us all to have. It's when we don't, you know, just say, oh, whatever, come to church, whatever, I heard that, yeah, I've heard that, yeah, been there, done that. Every day is a new day. Every day you have a choice. And the Lord wants us to choose Him.
think Dave mentioned a lot of things I was going to share, but one of the things that touched me the most was when Dana shared on, I think it was the last message, and actually maybe it was the second last message, and what he did was he had, at the end, he had a series of slides up, and he was indicating the things that rob us of our time. One thing was like, try to remember here, how like in the last year, a dear sister has passed on, and if we had spent like only 10 minutes per day of reading the Bible, we could have finished half the Bible. And there's a whole series of other things, like how in Russia, thanks, Annie. How in Russia there were churches that were opened and things like that. And also, the last one was, there were also 10 special moments during the year that Jesus quietly knocked on our door of our hearts for some fellowship. And for me, it really spoke to me because I feel like it's true that a lot of times we just waste our time without knowing, and it's really important that we redeem what has been lost and what we have been robbed. And as Dave mentioned about how there's two different time zones, one is under the sun, the other one is the kingdom time zone. In the under the sun time zone, is when we're insensitive to God's time, and we see things that happen on earth without relation to God. And Dana mentioned that there's no more miserable creature on earth than the believer who's become one-dimensional and vain, yet knows there is more. And I think each of us knows that there's more to life than what is. There's also this one quote that really spoke to my heart, and it was, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Each day we easily waste a lot of our time doing things that are temporary, that is for our own like benefit or whatever it may be. Like, it's not for the Lord. And I think the overlying theme or that ties the entire conference together is his obedience. And we really need to like hear what the Lord has said to us. And the Lord doesn't knock on our hearts. He only pushes gently on our hearts, and he asks us to do things, but we need to grab hold of that opportunity and obey him. And in doing so, we'll be able to buy back all those years that the locust has eaten. And another thing I want to share about is on witnessing. So often we think that it's our job to convert our friends or to bring them to the Lord, but many times it's not that. Sometimes it's just doing like a small thing. Like, you might just even, like, if your friends ask you, "Oh, are you free this Friday?" or whatever, you just let them know that you have to go to church. Like, you don't have to, like, you know, go and, you know, go back to Genesis and tell them the whole creation story and, you know, tell them everything that you know. It's not necessary. A lot of times we think the burden is for us to do all that, but many times it's not. It's only our job to obey him. Like, we're a citizen. We're not a citizen here, but we're just an ambassador. And you should always remember that the world is not our home. And finally, same with Dave. Like, before I used to think that, like, Jacob was a good person, but I guess, like, if you compare him with Enoch, who walked with the Lord for 300 years, it's a whole different story. But it was really interesting to hear that the Lord actually needs more Jacobs. And what is meant by that is we need to grab things that matter. We need to grab the right thing, and that's God Himself. And the thing is, if we take hold of these opportunities, if we seize them, and we obey Him, then the Lord will seize us. And I just want to encourage all of you that we need to take hold of those opportunities to share to our friends, and also the time that the Lord has given us. Like, let us do things that matter in His kingdom and matter to God.
Can everyone just stand up and stretch? Because I know you've been sitting for a while. I need to stretch too. Good stretch. We're almost done. Thank God. Thank God there's so much to share. At the, this wasn't during the conference, but a week we went like about a week before the conference started, and we had a good time of devotion together every morning, and we get to pray, and I really treasure those times. And then one verse that I want to share with you all, it's really good. It's helped me. Okay, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." So every morning we should declare His loving kindness, and every night we should declare His faithfulness. And I find it's very precious, because in the morning when you realize how much God loves you, your thoughts are towards Him all throughout the day. And then at nighttime, when you count how faithful He is, it just magnifies Him. It just, you get to see what a wonderful God we have. And that was in Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. Throughout the conference, it was really talking about redeeming the time. And I thank God that He provided for me to go, because financially, like, I didn't have money of my own that I worked for, okay? So, to go to the conference, including the love offering and everything, it's about like $800 or so. And to me, that was like, whoa, so much money, especially if I don't have any. And then, so God knows my desire. He knows I wanted to go, because I'm a person who tends to waste time, and the theme is redeeming the time, and I really wanted to do that. So I prayed to God. I said, "God, if you want me to go, you will provide for me." And He did. Before I even went out to search for a job myself, God provided me two jobs. One was through Ralph and Claire's mom, who came and asked me if I can teach them theory. Like, that was so unexpected. And then I accepted, and that covered half of the fee. And then the other was through Wendy. She came to me and she said, "Could you come and help with the Montessori school?" And I was like, okay. So in total, like, God provided 100% of the money and plus some spending money. So, like, God not only barely meets our needs, but He gives more abundantly, exceedingly of what we ask for. And then just going through there, like, the heat, Toronto, heat and humidity, two things I hate. And then, like, first time that I stepped out of the airport, I thought I stepped into a sauna. And I was like, oh, I must be under a heater or something. But I kept walking. I was like, no, this is not right. This is keep going humidity, right? So as we got into the car, Peter's friend, Elkin, he said, "You think this is hot? This is a nighttime, and this is cool so far. Wait until tomorrow when the sun goes up, and, you know, it's going to be really hot." So that night, like, I prayed for cool weather. And I'm not kidding you, not exaggerating at all, ever since the day, like, the day after and onwards until we came back, every day it has been, like, Vancouver weather, dry and cool. Okay, so, like, all of us can witness it. Yeah, and even rain. I think Jani prayed for rain. So I was like, that's Jani's prayer. So really, every single day, it has been so cool and dry. Really thank God for that. Another thing was, what was it? Okay, so like when we went to the conference, one thing that hit me was how God used the people in Russia. In Russia, it's a very poor country in Perm, okay, in a city called Perm. And those people, they've only, like, they're very young believers. They only study the Bible for maybe only 1 year. And already they're starting to push them out to be missionaries and teaching other people. Okay, and then I forgot who the speaker is. Oh, Dana. And then Dana asked, sorry, there are so many speakers. And then Dana asked, if today, if you were put in their situation and go to study the Bible for 1 year, and we push you out there, are you ready to teach? Okay, and that hit me. It's not so much how much knowledge we know, but those people, they in Russia, they know. Okay, they know only about 20% of what we know, and of that 20%, the reality they know it. They know much much more than we do, and that's why they were able to, through like a 19-year-old or 21-year-old, like massive amount of people came to the Lord. Okay, so like that just showed to me. I was like, oh, I'm already how old? And then you don't have to answer that. And already, like, how many times have I come to Bible study? How many times, like, how much can I, like, can God use me, right? So really, we have to redeem the time. And like Hosea said, this is a special meeting in that it's not about knowing, it's about doing it. Because next year, we might not have another conference. We might not have another meeting. We assume that, but we don't even know if we have a tomorrow. And that's the reality. And what are you committing yourself to today? Okay. What are you spending your effort, your time, your thought, your heart today? And one easy way to know what is your heart's desire is that verse. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So just take 1 day out of your life. What is your thought most, what do you spend most of your thought thinking about? And that's most likely what your treasure is. And if it's not treasure in heaven, then we really need to prioritize our time and really redeem our time and not waste time anymore. And I just want to quickly share with you like some characteristics of maturity, because that really spoke to me. Because this is at a workshop, and it's talking about parental expectation, and this is coming from a father who expects from his children, and as he was talking, God revealed it to me that how much more our Heavenly Father has this expectation of us, because the speaker said, I'm a father, and these are the qualities that I look for in my kids, but how much more our Heavenly Father expects us this from his the children that he has saved to become. And it's he said, one thing is, parents, they don't care what you become. They are more concerned of how you become, like into what kind of person you become. And the character that is in you, it doesn't come by chance. It's developed. So it's through the little things that you do every day, and then it's growth a little bit. It becomes your character. And what is character? Character is who you are when no one is around. Okay. So one thing about maturity, it means like grown up, and it's developed. And then signs of maturity is responsibility. You start to do things on your own. You don't wait until people to tell you to do. If you see something that needs to be done, you do it yourself. You don't need mom and dad to tell you to clean up your bed when you know you need to do it. Self-discipline. You know, once you go out to study university, you might have to move out on your own. And then that's when you have to decide what is good for me to eat, what is not good for me to watch on TV, or all these things, you know, self-discipline. And the ability to prioritize, know what is important. And one good question is, 5 years down the road, will this help me? Okay. If it doesn't, most likely it's not that worthwhile. So really treasure your time and use it wisely. And then commitment. If you want to make something last, you need to be committed. It doesn't, You need to put effort into it. If you want to grow spiritually, you can't just say, oh God, help me. When God tells you to do something, obey. I mean, that's one way Holy Spirit is guiding you, helping you. If every time you say no, how can God do his work in you, right? So we really need to be committed, but committed to the boss above. The ability to know that you're wrong, admit that you're wrong, because it takes a lot of humility to do that. And humility is another characteristic, because the more you mature, the more humble you become. You realize that there's so much that you don't know. Just briefly, one last point is that coming home after the conference, I really feel the spiritual battle too. There's all these things that hinders me from saying, you know, oh, you're a failure, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And I became very discouraged. But I thank God for the songs today and the encouragement of sisters and prayers, because I was reminded that it's, you know, if left on our own, we cannot do all that God wants us to do. And that's why we need God. It is a walk with him, not just by ourselves, or else we don't need God in our life. And that's why we really need to seek him first and spend time with him. And then I remember Hosea saying that, that how do you have an intimate relationship with God? It is just first that, just spend time with him. You don't have to do a lot of stuff. Just spend time with that person. When you have a true friendship, you don't need to talk a lot. You just spend time. And it should be God who breaks the silence first, because it is then that we can hear what God wants us to say, and then he can lead us and guide us in what he wants us to do. So mostly I was very encouraged by obedience that I've seen throughout the conference. Like simple prayers, they just pray from their hearts. It's not meditated, long prayers, and then they pray. You can really see that when God touched their heart, they just pray. And that was very encouraging to see. And then sharing too, like Sophia, she's not here right now, but like early that day I asked her, I said, are you going to share tonight? And then she's like, I don't know. But she's super shy girl, you know, but that night when she stepped up to share, I was so encouraged. Like, that is obedience. I'm just going to say, like, when you obey, it encourages me. When I obey, it encourages you. And then that's why we're gathering together, to encourage one another back to the Lord. So, yeah, obedience is not just saying, but do it, and then God really will reveal to you the rest of the way.
This is so much. I could stand here and go preaching from the first message to the end, but I think I'll stick to some points. I think even after this, we are responsible for what we heard to share, because this beating is not sufficient. You're putting a one-week conference into 1 hour in 9 different people. It's not, doesn't cut it. The messages were really good. The Lord's very good to me, because where there was aircon, you found me. And it actually started to rain in Toronto, and it felt nice and cool. And the Lord is very good to me, always, and I really thank the Lord. There's a lot. I think the message that touched me the most was Dana's second last message. And well, Dana's message from the beginning was, number one, we are robbed. Okay? Three-time bandits. Okay? So everyone here is robbed in some way. And there's three-time bandits. The world, our flesh, and the devil. And out of all three, the one that robs us the most is our flesh. Okay? And sometimes our flesh cooperates with the devil. Okay? So sometimes you know you should be doing something, and then you're like, oh, I kind of feel lazy, so whatever, I'm not going to do it. Okay? Example. So Dana was talking about how we need to redeem the time. You heard this word like 50 times already tonight. And basic meaning is to buy back, okay? You buy back your time. And how we do that is that we are obedient to the Lord. That's very simple. We're obedient and we walk. And The biggest thing is, as you guys heard, is obedience leads to revelation. You read all the, I've been pushing a lot of you guys to don't like neglect the books that you have here because there's so much treasure in it. You when you read it, you should be jealous. Okay, Spurgeon started to preach when he was 16 in a big church. Right? Think about who's 16 or close to 16. Okay, you think about in the Bible, it was the little, there's the kid with the 5 loaves and 2 fish that passed out all the loaves of bread. Okay? Don't despise your youth. And don't waste your time. For me, it made me think, the messages Dana said made me think, well, first of all, there was this girl who started, I didn't see it, but apparently she started to have a spasm in the middle of, before the message started. And then some people said there was something, and some people said it was another thing. And it was, I don't want to go into too much detail, but it was a spiritual attack because she said she felt like she was shot in the head over and over with a shotgun. No medication worked. It happened just at the start of the meeting, okay? And no medication worked. And they prayed a lot for her. And she started to confess her sins, and then her major headache left her. Okay, so it is a spiritual attack, okay? Everything we do, the enemy doesn't want us to go back. We are what is stolen, okay? Our created purpose as chosen and holy sons were robbed by Satan in the garden. Our selfishness and alienation prevents us from being kingdom of priests. We could not be God's people in possession for his son because of our ungodliness. But God is so good. Jesus came down on the cross, he restored us. But at the same time, we still have to work out our salvation. As Cynthia said, you know, what have you done this year? Dana asked us. And I was thinking, okay, what have I done this year? I did this. I'm not going to list them all, but hopefully you can say that you've really grown in the Lord. You've really walked with people. I mean, there are years that I look back and I go, what a wasted year. And but it really, that message about Jacob really did touch me. Because often I feel like I'm Jacob because, well, first of all, when I was a kid, I was worse than any of you. So that's why any of you who write notes under the table, I know because I've done that. I slept in front of the teachers more than you have, okay? Yeah, maybe there's somebody here I can't, like, beat or whatever, but we're not trying to see who's the bigger sinner, okay? But it's just like, you really see God's mercy and grace on me, okay? I really, really see it. And the biggest thing about Jacob is that he was a grabber. That means you're not passive. If you're passive, you're going to lose out on a lot of things. As Chinese people, the best thing that we do is we see a sale, we go and grab it, okay? So in the same way, we should really be like this in our spiritual life. We see something good, we grab it, okay? We see a message, grab it. Don't see the preciousness of these things. Okay? My mom a lot of times, like she's very ruthless in grabbing things, but there's a principle. You want the best, okay? You want the best, and God wants us to grab, okay? And if we are passive, if we're just going to sit there, if we're not going to learn how to open our mouth and pray, if we're not going to learn how to lead a Bible study when someone asks you to, we're going to lose the opportunity, and you're going to lose the life to grow. A brother asked me a question that I thought about when I was younger. You know, sometimes, you know, do we serve because we are prepared to serve? Like, okay, I am now, example school, I finish my degree, then I can be a teacher. But in the spiritual realm, it's not. It's God wants you to depend on him. God wants you to seek him. And it is when you depend on him that he gives you the power. He gives you the power and the ability to say what you need to say. You look in your Bible, it talks about it. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, you know, in the days. Okay, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know, verses, etc. So it really touched me. And Dana said, you know, he got alone, and someone asked him about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? WCCC, Lance mentioned about something about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it made me feel, okay, it's not like, oh, do you speak in tongues? Do you, you know, can you cast out demons? Nothing like that. But it just made me think, what does that really mean? And then when I was sitting in the message, I was thinking to the Lord, Lord, is there anything in my life that I do not give up that prevents me from having more of you? That's very simple. Just having more of you. Is there something we love more that prevents us from having more of him? Is there our pride? Is there our shyness? We say, oh, but because we're too shy, Lord, we cannot do this. Is it because of our gaming time for people who are gamers? Okay, I've known. I've been there. Okay, I know how tough it is. Is it like your relationships? Is it your family? Is it your friends? What is it that prevents us from having more of the Lord? And then as I sat there and David was saying how, you know, it's so important to have the Holy Spirit and how we need the Lord because in order to walk this Christian life, in order to preach the gospel, we have to have him. And I was telling the Lord, you know, Lord, I don't want anything. You know, if I see that anything prevents me from going forward, I don't want it. It comes to a point where you only want him and you only want to love him. And like, if you see that treasure, if you see that, you know, then you really, and I told the Lord, just like this song really puts it into words, is that you just want to be a living sacrifice and you just want more of him. So it made me think, and it made me go back to the Lord and think, you know, I've been a Christian so long. You know, have I really gone deeper? You know, where is my first love? And I can say, once we give up stuff, once we do obey, you experience more of him. I've seen it in people's life. I can see it in my life. It hurts at first, but there is such a joy, and there's such a blessedness of possessing nothing that nothing can compare with it. You feel miserable, you feel unhappy now, maybe because we haven't really been satisfied with the Lord. And as I see it, I'm learning this myself. So I was really touched because that's what he said. And then it says that God wants more Jacobs, like David said. If there's any problem among anyone, it's that we're passive. Okay? We let too many excuses come up. And you know what? The enemy is pretty happy about that when we yield to that. Another thing is with the conference, I was kind of irritated by Dana's message. Usually I'm like, yeah, Dana, you know? For the first meeting, I was like, why is he talking about witnessing again? He talked about it at WCC workshop. Why is he talking about witnessing again? And he kept talking about witnessing and witnessing and witnessing. And then I really find that it's good because there's several phrases that hit me. Number one, it is this generation that will be the one to reach your own non-believer friends. It's not, you know, it's not I'm going to reach out to, you know, the 90, born in the 90s or whatever. Maybe unless I have an extreme gift, but it's not the, you know, people who are like 50 years old. There's not like Billy Graham that God says, oh, only Billy Graham can save it, or only people who are preaching in this aspect can save. It is in our generation, and God wants that will be the ones to save our own. And Dana said that in the last 40 years, there hasn't been a revival in the U.S. I don't know about Canada. Canada doesn't, I don't know. I don't know much about Canada. Anyways, except only Vancouver is the best. It kind of hit me because I thought, wow, it is us that is going to be the one. And he said, are we ready? And he also said something funny, given the fact that I'm going to China, because he said, wouldn't it be funny if all the Chinese Christians in North America was all shipped off and dumped into China? And he said, oh, that would be such a, you really see such God's work. And I thought that was kind of funny. But I think the most important thing is we do need an awareness. If you sit here and you hear all these things, you should technically, after 1 year of being even in Sunday school, no matter how old you are, you're dumped in Russia and you can preach the gospel. Okay? Maria mentioned Bible school. You come to Sunday school for 1 year, you should have enough to be able to preach the gospel. There's two types of works. I can't go into too much of it, but I can say it's like there's so much in the messages. There's so much in our assembly when I look back at the sermons and topical studies, but we let it slip by because we don't share it. We don't say, hey, you know, this really touched me. We don't say anything. It dies in us. It is like a dead sea. We say church is, if we ever do say church is boring, which I sometimes say, it's because we haven't done our part to serve the Lord and come before the Lord to learn how to die to ourselves. No, we don't. Well, I don't really feel like saying it because that person's already said it, Lord. But he told you to. So speak up. It doesn't matter where you're young or old, because it is true. It's everyone encouragement. Brother Jose really touched me when he said, we all are learning together. Like the younger ones when they speak up, when the older ones when they speak up, when people are discouraged, it is a battle. Okay? People say I'm violent, okay, blah blah blah. But it is a battle. I can just say is, and we do have the victory in the Lord, but we just need to go back to Him, and He is working in us, okay? We're gonna ask see if two brothers or sisters can close for us. Okay.